This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah ta'ala, today in my lesson, I'm going to cover the story of Nuh alayhi salam, considering that he is the longest serving prophet in history. 950 years of his life was dedicated to ad-da'wah ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah azza wa jal mentions this fact in the Quran. And so, of course, this is the first da'i in history that approached people that were upon a shirk. And this is, of course, the greatest of the sins. And this is, of course, whoever comes meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a shirk, having associated partners with Allah, remains in the hellfire forever. So it is very important for a person who wants to consider a da'wah ila Allah azza wa jal and wants to delve in this field and defend the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that Allah azza wa jal needs someone to defend it, but we need to prove to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our love for this deen and to stand in defense of this deen. Whoever wanted to do this and has an intention for this, it is almost a must and an obligation to look into the story of Nuh alayhi salam and see how he did this and what are the great qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted about this Prophet Nuh alayhi salam. And we're supposed to seek these kind of qualities and character and try to emulate the same thing he did alayhi salam in his da'wah. So these ayat, of course, that I'm going to share with you about the story of Nuh is going to be from Surah Al-A'raf. So whoever wants to open a mushaf and look into those ayat, that's bi-ithnillah ta'ala what we are going to give a tafsir of. The ayat related to the story of Nuh in Surah Al-A'raf bi-ithnillah ta'ala. So first and foremost, before we begin with these ayat, in where Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ, Allah Azza wa Jal will tell us about how he sent Nuh alayhi salam to his people, and then the entire conversation between him and his people is going to be mentioned in the Quran. We're going to speak about that and what lessons we're going to learn. But before we enter these ayat, there are two ayat before the story of Nuh alayhi salam that are very interesting. Very interesting. And they teach us a lot as well about ad-da'i, the caller to Allah Azza wa Jal, and what kind of character and qualities is he supposed to adopt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, and this is ayah number 57. So 57 and 58 are almost, you can say, an introduction to the stories of the prophets that are going to come after this. 57 and 58, ayah 57, 58 of Surah Al-A'raf are an introduction. And then after them, immediately, the story of Nuh comes, the story of Hud alayhi salam, Salih, Lut alayhi salam, the story of Shu'aib, Musa, and all the stories come. But these two ayat are important for us to just quickly look over and see what kind of similarities do these ayat have concerning a da'wah or preaching, calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's read the ayat and then explain them and highlight their importance and their significance concerning the lives of the prophets and the stories of the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا ثِقَالًا سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ فَأَنْزَلْنَا بِهِ الْمَاءِ فأخرجنا به من كل الثمرات كذلك نخرج الموتى لعلكم تذكرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, he's speaking about how the rain is formed and how it is sent from one place to another until this rain comes down and it revives a dead land. Specifically, Allah azza wa jal says, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحِ. It is he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sends الرِّيَاح, the winds. Notice the word yursilu, he sends the winds. Then he says, bushran bayna yaday rahmatih. He sends the wind as a good tiding, as good news between the hands of his mercy. When we say between the hands of his mercy, meaning before his mercy comes down. And the mercy in this ayah is referring to rain. So Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, he is the one who sends the winds before he sends down his mercy, which is the rain. The rain in many places of the Quran has been referred to as a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. And very correct, subhanAllah, if you were to ponder over the rain itself, it is a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. Years and years go by upon the people. They suffer drought and they suffer famine and whatever it is. The cattle are dying. The livestock is dying. Vegetation is become has died as well. And all of a sudden this rain comes down and everything comes back to life. So definitely it is a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah says, and you probably are thinking now, what is this rain and all this speaking about the prophets? I will make the link for you, but just focus on these ayat. Because this is the introduction Allah gave before he spoke about the story of Nuh alayhi salam. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, he is the one who sends the winds before his mercy comes down, before the rain comes down. So you have wind, this wind picks up, and then after this, rain begins to come down. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا ثِقَالًا سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ. حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا, until this wind begins to carry a sahab. A sahab is the cloud. So Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us, he sends this wind, and this wind grows stronger and stronger, until the wind begins to أَقَلَّتْ. أَقَلَّتْ meaning to carry something. So it carries what? A sahab. A sahab are the clouds. It carries this cloud. And this cloud, Allah described it as ثِقَالًا. It is heavy. Yes, of course, because now this cloud is full of rainwater. It's full of water. So it's heavy. So Allah sends this wind so it can carry the cloud, and it moves this cloud around. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ. The wind would carry this cloud until it reaches a dead land. Until this cloud is just right on top of a dead land. Allah Azza wa Jal, then he says, سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ. We drove this cloud to a dead land. فَأَنْزَلْنَا بِهِ الْمَاءِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down the rain water from this cloud. He sends it down. فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And as a result, all types of vegetation will come out. All types of produce will come out from the earth. The cucumbers, the tomatoes, the herbs, the trees, the grass, everything. Some of it is consumed by humans. Some of it is consumed by animals. All of this greenery comes out. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ كَذَلِكَ نُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal then concludes this ayah by saying, and in just the same way Allah would send rain from the cloud and then bring out this produce, in the same manner Allah Azza wa Jal will revive the dead on the day of judgment. He'll bring them out from their graves in the same manner. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. And Allah Azza wa Jal gives us this ayah for us to reflect and ponder, so that perhaps we may remind ourselves and remember that resurrection is a reality, just like we see every day, rain coming down, produce coming out, then this rain one day will also come down and it'll enter the grave and it'll make contact with this tailbone that's at the end of the spinal cord. And then from that, a human being would regrow and then he'll make contact with his soul and he'll come out of the earth to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said after this ayah, he said, كَذَلِكَ نُخْرِجُ الْمَوْتَى لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ. He said, and the good, pure, healthy land, يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ. Its vegetation and its crops will come out by the permission of Allah. So can notice, by the permission of Allah. If there is a land in where the soil is healthy, it's fertile, it's pure, it's good, the soil quality is alive, it's good, then by the permission of Allah, vegetation will grow and will come out. Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ, and the evil land, the bad land, in where the soil quality is bad, it's terrible, it's lifeless, لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدَ, so much water comes down on it, but only, huh, يعني just a little bit of vegetation will come out. إِلَّا نَكِدَ, نَكِدَ. النَّكَد is when you feed a camel so much and it only gives you drops of milk. It only gives you drops of milk. So the idea is a lot of rainwater would come down on a specific type of land and nothing comes out really except nakida. Just bits and pieces of greenery will shoot up from one place and another. وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدًا كَذَلِكَ نُصَرِّفُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمٍ يَشْكُرُونَ. And this is how Allah Azza wa Jal diversifies the ayat for us. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that we may show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, now we just gave a quick tafsir of these two ayat, and let's make the relationship between these ayat and the prophetic mission, basically. The prophets and the lives of the prophets. What does all this have to do with prophets? You see, in these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us that in the same manner He sends the rain and the clouds and all this, He also sends prophets. And so this is why these two ayat were an introduction. And then the ayah straight after this, Allah Azza wa Jal said, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. Indeed, we sent Nuh. Now notice, these two ayat we just explained, Allah Azza wa Jal said in them, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحِ. It is Allah who sends the wind. The same word, يُرْسِلُ, is now being mentioned for the prophets. What does Allah do with the prophets? لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا. We sent Nuh alayhi salam. So this is the idea. The idea is that these prophets, if you look at this entire scene of how the cloud is formed and how rainwater eventually comes down on the dead land, this is exactly the same manner in how prophets are sent to their people. I'll draw these similarities and these parallels with you. Let's look at the ayah once again and read them now in between the lines. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, He is the one who sends the wind, bushran, as a glad tiding, good news. Bushran, bayna yaday rahmatih, before His mercy comes down. And so this is the prophets. Allah Azza wa Jal, He sends them as a glad tiding for the people. Just like this wind comes. And you know, when the wind comes, people are happy because now they know that the rain is coming down. Especially we're speaking about in olden times, in historic times, where people lived in the desert and they truly, truly recognized the blessing of rain. Today, subhanAllah, you and I might not see this blessing of rain because we are just, you know, open the tap and drink, or open your bottle and drink. But these people actually relied on the rain to come down because their livestock is going to die and no produce will come out. They will literally starve to death and they can see it. So when the wind would come, everyone would feel a sense of tranquility and peace. Everyone's happy. There is good news coming ahead. Very soon it is going to rain. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He sends the prophets as good news. And so just like the wind comes and people are excited, Allah Azza wa Jal, He sends the prophets as well as good news for the people, glad tiding for the people. Without these prophets, you would have been dead spiritually. Just like without this rain, the physical body would die. Without these prophets, spiritually, we would be dead. So Allah Azza wa Jal sends these prophets, bushran bayna yaday rahmatih. He sends them as glad tidings for the people. This is why when we're going to read the story of prophets, we need to be excited because there is good news in this. There is guidance for us. There is spiritual guidance for us. If we were to hold on to the message of the prophets, that's it. We have earned success in this life and in the hereafter. How can that not be good news? وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا ثِقَالًا. Remember how we spoke about this wind? It begins to carry heavy clouds. Now, this carrying of heavy clouds is the prophet that is full of knowledge. This is a prophet that is full of knowledge. Or this is a student of knowledge that must be full of knowledge and wisdom. You see, Allah Azza wa Jal does not send a cloud full of rain. He does not send a cloud to a dead land until it's full of rain. Notice the ayat. The cloud, once it's full and heavy, ثِقَالًا, Allah said, once it's heavy with rainwater, it is then driven to the dead land. And so these are the prophets. They are filled with knowledge and wisdom before Allah sends them to a dead land, meaning sends them to a people that have no guidance whatsoever. And so this, already we're learning that the one who wants to hold on to the same mission that the prophets were on in this life and call others to Allah, one very important quality and character that a person is supposed to have is al-ilm wal-hikmah. You're supposed to be full with knowledge and wisdom, because otherwise, how are people going to benefit? If you came without knowledge and wisdom, that's just like an empty cloud going on top of a dead land. What would the dead land benefit from an empty cloud? Nothing will come down from an empty cloud. So the idea is these prophets are taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of them, by the age of 40, are given the revelation, and they are now announced as prophets and declared as prophets and messengers by the age of 40, which is an age of wisdom, of complete knowledge. Then Allah Azza wa Jal sends them. And that's the ayah, which is saying, suqnahu, once it's full with knowledge and wisdom, Allah Azza wa Jal drives this cloud, ila baladin mayyit, to a dead land. فَأَنزَلْنَا بِهِ الْمَاءِ. And then the rainwater comes down on the dead land. What did Allah say? فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. And as a result, we bring out from this dead land from all types of produce. In other words, الداعي, the caller to Allah, the greatest of the examples, of course, these prophets, when they arrive to a town that is dead and they begin to deliver the knowledge and the wisdom upon these people by the permission of Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal here permits that people are revived. People are revived with this knowledge, and they come out accepting the oneness of Allah, accepting the goodness. This is the idea. So we always, when you focus on this formation of rain and how rain is sent to the dead land, this reminds you of how a person is supposed to be. Now, of course, the rain comes down on a dead land, and Allah Azza wa Jal says it brings out the produce. Now, of course, this da'i could be full of knowledge and wisdom and head to a town and deliver the message, and no one accepts the message. Nothing comes out. No greenery comes out. No one accepts his message. We're going to come to this in the next ayah. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ. He says, and the pure land, the good land, meaning people that their hearts are healthy, people that are upon the fitrah, people that are upon goodness, that is, يعني, in parallel with the good land, يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ. The good land, if the soil is fertile and it's alive, when rain comes down on it, by Allah's permission, vegetation grows and it comes out. Similarly, when a prophet or a person of knowledge that is full of knowledge and wisdom goes to a people that are pure and good in nature, they have not been corrupted, they only are missing spiritual guidance. When this guidance is given to them, they accept Islam. And their Islam and Iman flourishes. Like how Yunus alayhi salam, after he left his people and then he came back to them, they had all sincerely repented. After they had seen the punishment come to them, they had sincerely repented. So when Yunus alayhi salam came back, they were all pure. They were good. They were all upon a fitrah, a goodness. And as a result, 100,000 plus accepted Islam straight after he arrived to them and delivered to the message to them once again. Then Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ. However, there is another situation in where the cloud could be full of rain, and this person could be full of knowledge and wisdom, and it is a prophet, and he goes to a land, and nothing comes out. No vegetation comes out. No one accepts a deen. Rather, they reject and they insult him. What went wrong? Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ. There is another type of land, another type of people. خَبُثَ. They are corrupted. They have become evil. You see, what? Notice this. When Allah Azza wa Jalla spoke about the good land, He said, البلد الطيب, the good land. When He spoke about the bad land, He said, وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ. He said, and the land that has become corrupted. He did not say the good land, and as for the bad land. No, because there's nothing initially bad. Allah Azza wa Jal created everyone upon the fitrah. So when Allah spoke about the evil land, which in our parallel, He is the evil people, He said, وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ, meaning the one that has become corrupted. You see, people are born upon al-fitrah. Then they themselves, they follow their desires, they follow lustful temptations, they follow al-haram, they expose themselves to misconceptions, and as a result, they themselves corrupt their fitrah. So as a result, when the rain comes down, Allah says, لا يخرج إلا نكدا. Nothing comes out except, as we said, pockets here and there, vegetation from here, something from there. We said, just like the camel, you feed it, you feed it, you feed it. At the end, it gives you just drops of milk. And so this is a prophet that comes full of knowledge and wisdom. And he delivers the message to the people. And what happens? لا يخرج إلا نكدا. Pockets look like the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh, a prophet of Allah, upon immense knowledge. And he gives the people a da'wah 950 years. Allah says, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ. Only a few accepted the message. And that is, البلد والذي خبث لا يخرج إلا نكدا. Only pockets that accepted Islam and entered into Islam. And this idea, my brothers and sisters, is not something new. This parallel between a universal phenomena, which is the formation of rain, and how rain is driven from one place to another, and how Allah sends the rain, this universal phenomena, and it being paralleled to how Allah sends prophets that are full of knowledge and wisdom, and they go to a land and they deliver their message to these people. Some of these people accept the message, some don't accept the message. The parallel between these two is not something made up. This is something Allah Azza wa Jalla Himself addressed in the Quran. We saw in Surah Al-A'raf, these two ayat that explain this universal phenomena of how the cloud is formed, how rain is formed, how it comes down. Immediately after these ayat, Allah would speak how He sends the prophets to their people. In Surah Al-Rum, Allah Azza wa Jal, He speaks about sending prophets. لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ رُسُلًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ. Allah spoke about how He sends the prophets to their nations. The ayah straight after that, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الرِّيَاحَ فَتُثِيرُ سَحَابًا فَيَبْسُطُهُ فِي السَّمَاءِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. One ayah spoke about how He sent the prophets. Immediately the ayah that follows, Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about how He sends the wind, and how this wind picks up the cloud, and how then the cloud sends down this rain upon the dead land, and then how this land reacts. If the land is a good land, produce comes out. If the people are of good and they have kept their fitrah intact, then of course people accept the message, and they accept the message with this prophet. And if the land was corrupted and it was evil, the soil was dead, it was bad. And if this prophet was sent to corrupt people that have corrupted themselves over time, لا يخرج إلا نكدا. Only a few people would accept the message with this prophet. So now after these ayat, Allah Azza wa Jal gives us the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. And you know, just a point before we mention the story of Nuh alayhi salam, in brief, that come in these ayat, as we said in Surah Al-A'raf, one needs to ask himself, why does Allah Azza wa Jal mention to us the stories of the prophets? Why are the stories of the prophets mentioned to us? You see, al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they say that the prophet is, yani when Allah Azza wa Jal reveals the story of a prophet to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the prophet is being informed that your people, Quraysh, are not the only disbelievers. You people, Ya Rasulullah, and O companions, you people are not the first nation in history to experience a nation that disbelieves in the message of Allah. Quraysh is disbelieving in the message of Allah. So Allah Azza wa Jal sends down the stories of prophets to comfort Rasulullah and the companions that this is not the first nation that rejected their prophet. There are so many nations before this that also rejected their prophet. So in reality, when we read the stories of the prophet, it's supposed to bring us comfort and a source of peace and tranquility that, you know, we're not the only people that we live in a time where people around us have rejected the message. Not only that, insulted the message, attacked the du'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who call to Allah azza wa jal. The callers to Allah have been killed, have been imprisoned, have been massacred. This is not the first time this has happened. A believer is only supposed to read a couple of ayat of the stories of the prophets of the past to realize that this is something that has history. It started from the very beginning, Nuh alayhi salam's time, and continue all the way until our times. So the story of the Prophet is mentioned in the Quran. It's delivered to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to bring us comfort. And another reason is that these stories of the prophets, they prove the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If a person is in doubt, how do I know the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is actually a prophet of God, is actually a prophet of Allah? Well, very easily. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was illiterate, unlettered. He couldn't read, he couldn't write. He never read a book in his life, and he never wrote anything unless what Allah azza wa jal gave him permission of, and that's a separate thing that happened in the seal. And nor Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a student of anyone. Yani especially the Christians and the Jews that had the knowledge of previous prophets, they didn't want to share anything with him. They hated him. So when he mentions the stories of Nuh, of Hud, of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, it must prove that he has taken them from a divine source, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah azza wa jal says, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. He taught you that which you never knew. So these stories of the prophets, for us, they do a lot. But one of the things that these stories, the objectives of these stories is that they prove the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he was an illiterate man. He never read a book. He never wrote anything. He wasn't a student of those who had the knowledge of previous nations. And even then, he would recite unto us these stories in detail. Where did he get them from? Must be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the story of Nuh alayhi salam begins. Allah azza wa jal, he says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ. Indeed, we sent Nuh to his people. Just like Allah sent the rainwater onto the earth, and the earth responded in different ways. Remember, there was a good land and a bad land. Also, we sent Nuh alayhi salam to his people, and his people responded in different ways. أَرْسَلْنَا أَرْسَلْنَا meaning we sent. And that's why the messenger is called a Rasul, because Allah sent him. And you know, the idea is this. When you want to be a da'i or a da'i to Allah, everyone should be a da'i to Allah Azza wa Jal in his own capacity, in his own ability. A da'i to Allah Azza wa Jal should learn a lot of lessons from this word arsalna and the word rasul. What does it mean? Rasul is a messenger because Allah sent him. What does this mean? The main thing that is highlighted in the word messenger and arsalna is that this is a person sent by Allah to people so that he can deliver to them the message of Allah. Then a prophet is not allowed to change the message. Think of it like a postman. You see, a postman, he's sent from the warehouse with letters, parcels. He's sent from the warehouse with a parcel. And he is told, deliver it to this address. So the postman takes the parcel, and he goes all the way until he reaches the house, the address, and he delivers this parcel. As the one receiving the parcel, you'd be upset and angry if the postman changed the content in the parcel. You wouldn't accept it. And so a da'i ila Allah should be in the same manner. You are like a postman. You take the message that is in the Quran and in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and deliver it to the people without changing anything. There are some people that think, oh, you know, maybe this ayah, it's coming out across too harsh. So I need to change it and tone this ayah down so that the people are not intimidated by this Islam and rebelled by what it's teaching. No, Allah knows what He sent mankind. Allah sent us ahsan al-hadith, the best of speech, meaning it contains the best of guidance to mankind. Ala ya'lamu man khalaq? Doesn't Allah know who He created and what He created? Of course He knows. So He knows what's best for them in terms of their spirituality and in terms of everything of a human being. Allah Azza wa Jal knows what's best for them. So we just need to be true and find that strength to carry the message of Islam and deliver it as it is. And whoever it hurts, then it's not you that hurt the people. It is the people themselves that are uncomfortable with the message of Allah. So we need to understand this. Sometimes a da'i, a caller to Allah, hesitates. He finds a message, he finds a people, and he says, you know what, I need to back away because the people are going to insult me. It probably is going to hurt their feelings, and then I'm the one responsible for hurting their feelings. Absolutely, never, never a da'i to Allah should think like this. This is from the tricks of a shaytan to keep you away from delivering the message to the people. In reality, let me explain this situation. In reality, what is happening is that you're delivering the message. The people don't have a problem with you. They actually had a problem with the message of Allah. This is how you're supposed to think of it. And this is what will give you the strength to continue carrying this message of Allah and going all the way. Otherwise, by Allah, I ask you, how do you think Nuh alayhi salam continued in his da'wah? 950 years. And his people are putting their hands in their ears and لَقَدْ أَكْثَرْتَ جِدَالَنَا. You've argued with us way too much. خَلَصْ, move away. We don't want to hear this anymore. We're hurt by your message. Move away. You know, you want us to come off what our forefathers used to worship and worship Allah alone. You've insulted us with this message. What keeps Nuh alayhi salam strong in his da'wah? The fact that he knows they have actually rejected Allah's message and that he needs to continue down this path. They have a problem with Allah's message, not with him. Otherwise, he lived among them for so long and they had accepted him. They had known him as being a trustworthy person among them, someone that they grew with, they ate with, they know him. But when he came with this message, then what's the problem? They had a problem with Allah's message and not with him. What da'i is supposed to think in the same manner. So, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا, the messenger has been sent, meaning take the message and deliver it as it is. Don't change anything in it. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been commanded to say to his people, Quraysh, and Allah mentioned this in the Quran, قُلْ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أُبَدِّلَهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِي. It is never befitting for me that I change this message from my own desire. مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أُبَدِّلَهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِي. Rather, what is the fact then, Ya Rasulullah? إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْ. I only follow that which has been revealed to me. The same way I'm obliged to follow it, you're supposed to follow it as well. إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْ. إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. I fear that if I was to change the message or play around with the message or water it down, thinking that if I water down the ayat, the people will accept it. إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي. He called it عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي. It's a disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's afraid and terrified. أخاف إن عصيت ربي عذاب يوم عظيم, a punishment on a severe, intense day. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم himself is afraid from changing anything in this message. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, we carry the message as it is, whether you're advising Muslims of something they are doing wrong, whether you're delivering the message to non-Muslims that are upon their shirk or upon their corrupt ways and evil habits. You deliver the message as it is. There is no need and no reason to shy away. Rather, you're supposed to be warned and careful that if you change anything, even if the people and all of them were pleased with you, you better know that Allah Azza wa Jal is displeased with such a person, and such a person is warned from a severe punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what we can learn from the word arsalna. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, indeed, we sent Nuh alayhi salam to his people. Faqal, faqala. You see this fa, this is يعني, immediacy. It implies immediately. Khalas, no games. Allah sent him immediately. He went to his people and he said to them, faqal. He said to them, no delay. And this is how the Prophet of Allah responded to the revelation of Allah, immediately implemented the command of Allah without delay. What did he say? He said, Ya qawm, i'budu Allah ma lakum min ilahin ghayruh. He said, Ya qawm, my nation, my people. He ascribed the people to himself, which implies his mercy, love, and care and concern for his people. And that's how a da'i should be. That's how he's supposed to be, always concerned for his people. Just like the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah described him saying, Azizun alayhi ma anittum, harisun alaykum. Azizun alayhi ma anittum. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is azizun alayhi. He's hurt. And it is difficult upon him when he sees the difficulty you go through. Harisun alaykum. And he's always concerned for you. That's how a da'i should be. Look at Nuh alayhi salam. He approaches his people and he's saying to them, Ya qawm, my people. You see the love and care in that and the gentleness in that. That is one of the qualities of a da'i. After he knows, the first one is to take the message as it is. Don't play around with it. Number two, the manners, the love and the care and the concern you're supposed to have for your people. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Ar-Rahman, he said, Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Qur'an. From among the 99 names of Allah that we know, he chose the name Ar-Rahman, then 'allama al-Qur'an. It is Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, who taught the Qur'an. He did not say Al-Aziz 'allama al-Qur'an, Al-Jabbar 'allama al-Qur'an, Al-Qahhar. And these are all names that imply the authority and the dominance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentioned Ar-Rahman, and this is a name that implies the compassion and the gentleness and the mercy of Allah. And he ascribed his name Ar-Rahman to teaching the slaves and the people the Quran. Ar-Rahman 'allama al-Quran. So that when you're teaching and when you're preaching the message of the Quran, adopt the quality of Rahmah, of mercy. Otherwise, the people will be turned away and they will move away from this message. Ar-Rahman. And similarly as well, in the story of Musa alayhi salam, when he meets Al-Khadr, Allah Azza wa Jal, when he described Al-Khadr, you know the story of Musa alayhi salam, Al-Khadr, but just something about Al-Khadr, Allah said about him, فَوَجَدَا عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Allah described him as a slave from among the many slaves of Allah. Listen, آتَيْنَاهُ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّا عِلْمًا. And this Khadr, Allah had given him a lot of mercy. And then we taught him special knowledge. Mercy was mentioned before knowledge. When you want to deliver this knowledge, work on your character and your manners beforehand. So Musa, Nuh alayhi salam here, he says, Ya qawm, ya qawm, my people. Yani it's like he's acknowledging, I'm not someone special. I am from among you. You are from me. We are all one. We're a tribe. We're a nation. Ya qawmi. Then he says to the message, now he delivers the message very clear, straightforward. U'budu Allah. Allahu Akbar. How clear is that? The message of Allah to people was in two words. U'budu Allah. Worship Allah. Enslave yourself to Allah. And this is proof that they were upon shirk. They were worshipping idols. There is a story in how the people of Nuh began to worship the idols. And of course, they were the first in history to worship idols after the Ash-Shaytan had played tricks with them and told them, create idols of these righteous, noble people that were among you so you can remember them. Anyway, generations down, people began to worship these idols because these idols of righteous men were reminding them of Allah. So people felt indebted to these righteous men. So let's worship them, because when we always look at them, they remind us of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Look at the intention is sort of good, but look at the action. It became horrible. And this is just like the people that worship Jesus. What was the intention? The intention was to honor Jesus alayhi salam, which was all right. This is a good, this of course, we're supposed to honor the prophets of Allah. But then look at this. The intention led to a horrible crime. They began to worship Isa alayhi salam. And this is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam warned the ummah, لَا تَطْرُونِي كَمَا أَطْرَتِ النَّصَارَى عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمْ فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ. Do not overpraise me like how the Christians overpraised Isa alayhi salam, to the point where they began to worship him. They went from something good honoring a prophet to falling straight into a shirk and worshipping Isa alayhi salam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reinstated the fact and statement, and he mentioned, إِنَّمَا أَنَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. I am only a slave of Allah wa rasuluhu and a messenger. That's it. Subhanallah. So the clear message, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. He saw a big problem, Nuh alayhi salam, a major problem among his people, and he delivered a clear message in two words. And so we learn from this, a da'i is supposed to be clear in his message. Don't complicate things. Don't complicate things. Already things are complicated in this world. The message of Islam is a clear message. U'budullah, two words. Worship Allah. Then he gave them logical reason for this. You see, the smart da'i is a person who doesn't just throw a statement or a command, but he also logically explains to his people, why are you commanded and obliged to follow this command? So he said to them, U'budullah, enslave yourselves to Allah, worship Allah, do not associate partners with him, because مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. مَا لَكُمْ. Look at the strong words in his logical explanation. For you people, there is no Lord other than him. So isn't it logical that you worship him? The fact that he created you, he provided for you, he blessed you with the wealth and with the health and the children that you have. He's given you a good life up until this moment. So, مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. You have no Lord other than him. Show me. Is there another Lord that looked after you in the same manner Allah did? I'd worship him with you as well. So look at the logical explanation. مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. And then he's saying, yani, look, I don't want your money. I'm not after any position, no authority. I don't want any materialistic matter. Just this is the message. This is a logical explanation taught. And that's it. إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. And I'm called. Then again, he explains to them why he is calling to them to the message of a tawheed, to accept Allah's oneness. He says, because I worry and I am afraid for you. إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. I fear for you the punishment of a tremendous day. If you die upon shirk akbar, if you die upon major shirk, I am worried for that day. I am worried that you will be destroyed and punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once again, highlighting the concern and the gentleness and the compassion al-da'i ila Allah, the caller to Allah, should have for his people. Subhanallah. So then, you see, the idea is al-da'i, the caller to Allah, he isn't seeking victory. You're not seeking victory and dominance and authority, and I want to climb and become on top of the people. If you're coming with this approach and this mentality, no one would accept the message. You're supposed to come with a humble approach, wanting good for the people, having genuine care and concern. And this genuine care and concern for your people, when you give dawah to people, must be displayed and shown in your words and actions. This is not just an idea of, okay, you know what? I'm going to give dawah to these people. And really, you know what? I'll have mercy in my heart. Show it in your words and in your actions. Like Nuh alayhi salam here. Ya qawmi, inni akhafu alaykum. I fear for you people. Look at these words. So الداعي إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى, a caller to Allah, must his mercy and compassion in calling to Allah must manifest in his words and in his action and in his character. So now, once the people heard the message, they responded. Allah Azza wa Jal said, قَالَ الْمَلَأُ مِنْ قَوْمِهِ. Notice, when he addressed the people, he said, يَا قَوْمِ. He's speaking to all the nation. يَا قَوْم, my nation. But those who responded to him were not all the nation. Allah said, قَالَ الْمَلَأُ. It is only the chiefs from among the nation. الْمَلَأُ. The elite, the leaders, the chiefs from among the nation are going to respond. Al-mala', this is a unique word. The most times in the Quran it comes is in this surah, Surah Al-A'raf. It comes about 7 or 8 times, not sure. But al-mala' are the chiefs. So now, what is al-mala' exactly? Al-mala', it comes from two words and it implies two things. Al-mala' comes from the word mamlu', mala', mamlu'. Something mamlu' is when something is full. So if you have a cup and you filled it to the top, you'd say, هَذَا كُوبٌ مَمْلُؤ. It's a cup that is full. So الْمَلَأ are called مَلَأ because they are full of power, full of authority, their pockets are full with wealth, and they have filled the eyes of the people. So even the people, the people's eyes are filled with these people. They are happy with them. They are satisfied with these leaders. They don't want to replace them, and everyone's happy. And the nation, society is all good, and it's functioning and it's moving. That's one meaning that the word al-mala' implies, that these people are really in full control. The other meaning of mala', it comes from the word tamala'a. And tamala'a, they say, يعني tamala'a fulanun ma'a fulan. Tamala'a means to agree. When one person agrees with another, we say tamala'a fulanun ma'a fulan. One person agreed with another. And so al-mala', it implies that these people are leaders, they are full of authority and leadership, and they have all agreed with each other. Al-mala', the chiefs, are all in agreement with each other. They have all agreed to shirk, and they have all agreed to reject Nuh alayhi salam's message. We don't want it. It's not like the mala', there is among them believers and among them disbelievers. No. They are all on the same page. And this in reality is what makes them strong. Well, mala', up until this day, they exist. Today, we still have a mala' among us that are full with wealth and are full with power of this entire globe. And they are all agreeing with each other. They all agree with each other. And they continuously plan and plot, how are we going to remove God from society? This strategy of al-mala' is not old. It's not only in the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Al-mala' exists until this day. There are elite in this world. There are people that are full of money in their pockets in this world and authority. And they work with one another. Even though perhaps their hearts dislike each other, as Allah would describe the Jews, تَحْسَبُهُمْ جَبِيعًا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ شَتَّى. You see them all as though they are one, but their hearts are all in difference and diversion among them. But the idea is they work with each other and the plot and plan, just like al-mala' in the time of Nuh wanted to remove the idea of God from society and keep people among their shirk and worshipping idols. Al-mala' of today are doing the same thing. They don't want God in a society. Nothing called Allah. They want to remove Allah. Doesn't matter, you're a Muslim, you're a Jew, you're a Christian, whatever it is, they want you only to obey them. They are the gods, right? They are the God. This is what they want. And today, if the mala', yani if today there are no statues, and there are no idols to worship, there is something just as bad, and that is their created religions and their created laws that go against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what the mala' want today. The mala' today, they want you to do another form of shirk. It's not like the times of Nuh, in where you're going to, the Malak wants you to worship the idols and stick to worshiping the idol, even though Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that at the end of time, the idols will come back, they'll make a comeback and people will begin to worship them in abundance. But today, the idol is the religion or is the law that these Malak of today have made that oppose the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its many forms. So a person needs to be careful and understand it's the same thing that is happening. قَالَ الْمَلَأْ These Malak now respond to Nuh alayhi salam. These ayat become very relevant for us because we want to compare the words of the Malak of Nuh alayhi salam and how they spoke to Nuh, and we want to compare the words of al-Malak today and how they speak to the callers of Allah and how they address the Muslims that are living on earth today. And then we're going to learn how Nuh would respond to the Malak and how we are supposed to respond to the Malak of our time. Allahu Akbar, يعني Al-Quran in this light becomes extremely relevant for our times, almost as if these ayat weren't with us. Wallahi, we would be misguided and lost and not knowing what to do. Perhaps we would have all left our religion. Falhamdulillah that Allah Azza wa Jal has given us this ni'mah Al-Quran in which we can look up to and take our guidance and wisdom from. So this Malak approached Nuh alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, that they said to him, Inna lana raka fi dalalin mubin. Allahu Akbar. Five words. They said to him, Inna lana raka fi dalalin mubin. Firstly, this statement is attack on his character. They are now defaming him. They are character assassinating him. Sounds very familiar. Al-Malak today, this is what they do. Just defame Islam. Just defame it. Give Islam a bad name. But let's just give Islam a bad name. So Al-Malak now at the time of Nuh are looking at Nuh and they're saying, what are we going to do? He's spoken logic. He's spoken sense. U'budullah, there's no Lord worthy of worship except him. He's making sense. What are we going to say? How are we going to defend our shirk? Al-Malak come into a conclusion, we cannot defend our shirk. What are we going to say? You know, when Al-Malak in other parts of the Quran, when they tried to defend their shirk, look how stupid their defense was. They would say, Inna wajadna aba'ana ala ummah. Our forefathers used to worship them. How silly. Is that how you defend your idols? That your forefathers worship them? What does that really mean? What does that mean? I mean, you people, if you don't even believe in resurrection, right? You don't even believe you'll be resurrected. Why would you worship what your forefathers worshipped? How is that an honor for your forefathers? If you believe you'll never be resurrected and you'll never meet them ever again, why would you worship them and say our forefathers used to worship them? Anyway, look, so the Malak now in the people of Nuh, the Malak of Nuh, they cannot defend their shirk. So what's the next best thing to do? Let's just defame Nuh, insult him, curse him, slander him, mock him, character assassinate him. Perhaps then our people will look up to us and they'll continue respecting us and continue worshipping the idols. So they said to him, Inna lanarak. Certainly, verily, no doubt about it. You see, the Malak has to come with strong words in front of their people. Otherwise, the people start doubting their own leaders. Inna, certainly, lanarak. We see you, O Nuh. Ya'ni, ya Nuh. We're not in doubt of what we're going to say now. Lanarak, we see you with our own eyes. Ya'ni, we are certain and positive of the fact that you are fi balalin mubin. You are immersed deeply in clear misguidance. Allahu Akbar. Look at the accusation. They said, fi. You know, when someone is fi something, if you're in something, that means you're surrounded by it. So now I'm inside a room. I am surrounded by walls and a ceiling and a floor. I'm surrounded. So they said to him, we certainly, we can see it. We see it with our own eyes. There's no doubt. You are immersed in dalal, in misguidance. Look, there's misguidance on top of you, left of you, right of you, underneath you. There is dalal, there is misguidance in the words you say. There is misguidance in the way you're standing. There is misguidance in your clothing. There is misguidance all around you. And mubin, it's clear. Look at it. This is how they manipulate their people. Al-Mala are controlling their people now. They're saying, look, can't you all see it? Look how clear it is. Look at this fall. Look at this misguided individual. Subhanallah. So the idea is attack him. Once you've destroyed him, you'll also destroy what he's calling to. Because if they can destroy the image of Nuh, then what does that mean? That means they just destroyed his message. So this thing of U'budullah will be useless now. There's no meaning to it to the people. That's the idea. So we cannot debate him on what he's telling us. Let's just kill him, attack him, attack his character. As a result, it'll weaken his message. And as a result, we've got rid of the message of a tawheed altogether. And our shirk and idols would shine and rise among our people. That's the idea. Subhanallah. So he's talking, and look at this. Nuh alayhi salam is talking about at-tawheed. They are talking about him. Subhanallah. Okay. Inna lanaraka fi dalalin mubin. They made their point, and they had just character assassinated him right there and then. Allahu Akbar. Now listen to this. Nuh alayhi salam, and such were the prophets of Allah, they had a strong personality and a strong character. Nothing would phase them out. He didn't go and sook and cry, and I was insulted, and my feelings are hurting, and I'm damaged. Nah, what we're learning from this, he's going to respond. But what we learn from this is that a da'i is supposed to be strong, a strong personality. A da'i is supposed to have thick skin. Don't yani be a weak da'i. A weak da'i is no good. Be strong. If people insult you, people abuse you, people hurt you, whether it's on the news, whether it's your own people, whether it's people from al-masjid, whatever it is, but you delivered the message in a gentle manner and you are delivering Allah's message and you're true to the message, and then you are insulted and harmed, don't take a corner and cry. Don't abandon a da'wah. The prophets could have done that. But the message of Allah is bigger than you. Come on, think bigger than yourself. When they attack you, they are attacking Allah's message. And so you're supposed to continue. But if you're going to take it personal, that's when you'll begin to become weak. So Nuh alayhi salam, imagine this. He's the only one standing as a believer. And all these people around him are talking in this manner to him. Allahu Akbar, what did he do? Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَيْسَ بِي ضَلَالَةٌ وَلَكِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Once again, he addressed his people. He said, Ya Qawmi. Notice, who's the one who spoke to him? Al-Mala' spoke, the chiefs. He did not continue the conversation with the chiefs. He did not say, Ya Mala', because if he's going to address the elite, the chiefs and the leaders, what would happen? The general people are going to find it boring. Oh, this is a conversation between Nuh and the chiefs. Let's just get away from here. And they'll go. They'll become bored and not interested. So he continued the message to them. He continued the message to his people. And he said, Ya Qawmi, my people. He keeps them engaged. And this is what a da'i is supposed to do. Keep the people engaged. Now, walil asaf, lots of du'at. What do we see? When the attacks come from the chiefs and from the elite, they turn their attention towards them and to the news and to the media. And who suffers with all this? The general population suffer. The general people don't know what the da'wah is anymore. No one delivers the message to them. Why? Because certain du'at are busy with the elite and with the chiefs. As a result, a da'wah now becomes sort of controlled. I am only going to speak what is going to attack these people, and it becomes a one-on-one, and the people suffer. Nuh alayhi salam, qala ya qawm, my people, laysa bi dalalatun. Powerful words. He said, he didn't say, lastu dalan. He didn't say, I'm not misguided. He said, laysa bi dalalatun. Al-ba, this one here is lil musahaba, meaning, I have never once been touched by misguidance. Never ever in my life. I don't even know what misguidance is. You're saying I'm immersed deep into misguidance. Yeah, I need 2 minutes and I'll wrap up, inshallah. I have never, I didn't even know what misguidance is. Rather, وَلَكِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I'm actually the peak of guidance. I'm a messenger sent from the Lord of the worlds. See how he defended himself? And he did it respectfully. He did not insult them and curse them. He just rejected an accusation. No. ليس بي ضلالة ولكني رسول من رب العالمين أبلغكم رسالات ربي. I am only here to preach to you the many messages of my Lord. It's like he's saying, your insult and your mockery of me is not going to move me away from one message of the messages of my Lord. So أبلغكم, I will preach to you رسالات ربي, all of them. I didn't care what hurts you. All of them. Why? Because they are from Rabbi, from my Lord. I didn't have the luxury to pick and choose what I share with you. رسالات ربي. وأنصح لكم. And I will continue to advise you out of concern and love for you. وأنصح لكم. وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون. And I know things that you people don't know, that Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed to me. And it was said that what Nuh alayhi salam knew that his people didn't know is that if they continue upon their shirk, that Allah Azza wa Jal would destroy them and he would punish them. And of course, the people of Nuh alayhi salam did not have a lesson in history or a nation that came before them that had disobeyed Allah and Allah destroyed them. Of course, they're going to be the first nation. So this is why every prophet after Nuh alayhi salam would make reference to the destroyed nation before them. However, Nuh alayhi salam couldn't make reference to any nation before. And so he said, and I know from Allah something that you people do not know. That is, if you to remain disobedient to Allah and His Messenger, Allah Azza wa Jal will destroy you. I don't have the time to complete this story, لكن hopefully, يعني بإذن الله تعالى, I have shared something of the qualities of a da'i and the prophetic mission and how the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam carried himself about in a da'wah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala يعني that he make us benefit from his ayat and from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask Allah azza wa jal to accept our gathering. Wallahu a'lam. Jazakum Allahu khayra wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.